Rachel immediately forgot all about the printout in her hand, Ming, the meteorite, and the bizarre tunnel beneath the ice. She had just felt a small projectile graze her ear, barely missing her temple. Instinctively, she dropped to her knees, yanking Tallon down with her. "What's going on?" Tallon screamed. A hailstorm was all Rachel could imagine, balls of ice blowing down off the glacier. And yet from the force with which Corky and Nora had just been hit, Rachel knew the hailstones would have to be moving at hundreds of miles an hour. Eerily, the sudden barrage of marble-sized objects seemed now to focus on Rachel and Tallon, pelting all around them, sending up plumes of exploding ice. Rachel rolled onto her stomach, dug her crampons' toe spikes into the ice, and launched toward the only cover available, the sled. Tallon arrived a moment later, scrambling and hunkering down beside her. Tallon looked out at Nora and Corky, unprotected on the ice. "Pull them in with a tether," he yelled, grabbing the rope and trying to pull. But the tether was wrapped around the sled. Rachel stuffed the printout in the Velcro pocket of her Mark IX suit and scrambled on all fours toward the sled, trying to untangle the rope from the sled runners. Tallon was right behind her. The hailstone suddenly rained down in a barrage against the sled, as if Mother Nature had abandoned Corky and Nora and was taking direct aim at Rachel and Tallon. One of the projectiles slammed into the top of the sled tarp, partially embedding itself, and then bounced over, landing on the sleeve of Rachel's coat. When Rachel saw it, she froze. In an instant, the bewilderment she had been feeling turned to terror. These hailstones were man-made. The ball of ice on her sleeve was a flawlessly shaped spheroid the size of a large cherry. The surface was polished and smooth, marred only by a linear seam around the circumference, like an old-fashioned lead musket ball, machined in a press. The globular pellets were, without a doubt, man-made. Ice bullets. As someone with military clearance, Rachel was well acquainted with the new experimental IM weaponry, improvised munitions, snow rifles that compacted snow into ice pellets, desert rifles that melted sand into glass projectiles, water-based firearms that shot pulses of liquid water with such force that they could break bones. Improvised munitions weaponry had an enormous advantage over conventional weapons because IM weapons used available resources and literally manufactured munitions on the spot, providing soldiers unlimited rounds without their having to carry heavy conventional bullets. The ice balls being fired at them now, Rachel knew, were being compressed on demand from snow fed into the butt of the rifle. As was often the case in the intelligence world, the more one knew, the more frightening a scenario became. This moment was no exception. Rachel would have preferred blissful ignorance, but her knowledge of IM weaponry instantly led her to a soul-chilling conclusion. They were being attacked by some kind of U.S. Special Ops force, the only forces in the country currently cleared to use these experimental IM weapons in the field. The presence of a military covert operations unit brought with it a second, even more terrifying realization. The probability of surviving this attack was close to zero. The morbid thought was terminated as one of the ice pellets found an opening and came screaming through the wall of gear on the sled, colliding with her stomach. Even in her padded Mark IX suit, Rachel felt like an invisible prizefighter had just gut-punched her. Stars began to dance around the periphery of her vision, and she teetered backward, grabbing gear on the sled for balance. Michael Tallon dropped Nora's tether and lunged to support Rachel, but he arrived too late. Rachel fell backward, pulling a pile of equipment with her. She and Tallon tumbled to the ice in a pile of electronic apparatus. "They're bullets," she gasped, the air momentarily crushed from her lungs. "Run!"